The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker. The protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders. They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
Congratulations to the humans on Earth. We've made it to Friday, at least if you're in this hemisphere, I guess. I'm not 100% sure how that works. We appreciate you guys joining us. Got a hell of a show for you. Got some college football tonight. Haven't had it in a couple days. Been scratching, been itching, had a dry throat, but we get a little bit tonight. UTSA, Western Kentucky, Oregon, Utah in a rematch. We're going to break that thing down like it's a dance-off. But first, I want to give a shout-out to the Booster
Always.
Club, the greatest grass movement, roots movement since a bug's life. That's probably the best one.
Pure gold.
Out of all of them, pure gold. I forgot who said that on social media, but that was absolutely pure gold. Shout out to the Boost Club. If you don't know what that is, that's our live chat. Hop in now. You make a donation. We read your question even quicker. If not, we'll get to it, I promise. But again, shout out to the Booster Club. Also, hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. And I want you to pound that like button. Like when Jordan Davis gets in on offense and they're running ISO. So go ahead and pound that for me. Got a great show, like I said. Going to start out talking about is the pressure on Georgia. Who has the most pressure to win a game tomorrow? I think this is a pretty easy answer. And can Georgia do it? We all know this has been the pillar they have to get over. It's going to be talked about and talked about. We're going to dive into keys to victory. My favorite thing to do here, we're going to go over three games, what each team needs to do. Former USC quarterback, NFL quarterback, actor on Benchwarmers, Longest Yard. He's been on Comedy Central, ESPN, BattleBots, and everything. Sean Salisbury is going to join us. Great conversation. Loved what he had to say. We talked playoff expansion. Did he like Lincoln Riley to USC? Being a Cali guy, USC alum. And then Brian Kelly done gone country. We're going to go over, was Brian Kelly's accent at the LSU basketball game worse than Nicolas Cage's Southern accent in Con Air and a couple others, which I didn't think it'd be possible to top Nicolas Cage's Southern accent in Con Air, but Brian Kelly may have done the impossible. And then weekend bets. I got two for you right now. I mean, we've been balling all year. I think we're at 63%. I've never felt better about two bets than I did tonight. Never felt better about anything, honestly, in my whole life, than what's going on tonight. But I want to start with this Georgia-Alabama game. And look, we've talked about it since the Prometheus stage of this show. Georgia's got to get past Bama. We know that. We've said it the whole year, a lot of people have, it's going to be Georgia and Bama in the SEC championship. Now, we didn't know exactly how it was going to go for them to get there. Georgia is able to run the table, been the most consistent team in college football with an elite roster. Bama has been up and down, but they've won the games they've had to win. They've given themselves a chance. Now, they need some carnage if there's going to be two losses for them to get into the playoff, but it's still there. I think they had them at 39%, even if they lose. With Nick Saban, add another 15% to that. That's like polling.
Automatically 50.
Depending on who the poll's coming out of, add another 5% to it. It just depends. But look, here's the way I look at it. Georgia fans, I don't need to sit here and explain this to you. I don't need to, but here's what I will say. Regardless of how nervous you are, how much anticipation's been built up for this game, what's going to happen on that field is going to happen. But I can tell you this. I can look you right in the eyes. I can tell you this. You have never been more poised to do what you guys have wanted to do. You have never been in a better position to achieve what you guys haven't achieved in over 40 years than you are right now. And you should feel good. And you should feel confident. And you have people out there saying, oh, they're going to choke it again. Georgia's going to choke again. This team, to me, is beyond the noise. I've talked to Jamari Salyer every week. Talked to Kyaris Jackson. Bunch of the guys over there. They're not worried about the noise outside. They know if they show up and do what they're supposed to do, they will have a great chance to win this game. They know that Alabama, and we know they both have elite rosters, but I think we can say, after watching the body of work, that Georgia's roster is more veteran and a little bit better. You don't have to go out here and put on an unbelievable exhibition. You guys, and I don't want to jump too far into the keys of victory, the pressure is going to affect the fans way more than it's going to affect the players. There's going to be a ton of hype built up, but what game has Georgia played where there wasn't a ton of hype built up? And these guys are older guys. You're not taking a young group into that Mercedes-Benz Dome. You're taking a veteran group that understands. After the first snap, all that noise and BS doesn't matter. It comes down to physics and execution. Georgia's got the physics part. We're going to look at the matchups, and we're going to dissect it and this, that, and the other. But I'm talking about that feeling that Georgia fans have in their gut right now. Some are confident. Some are going to have to see it. And I don't blame either one of you, but what I will say one more time, with all the tradition of Georgia and Bama lately and Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young and all this, Georgia is poised right now. They have set themselves up for this moment. And it's always better to still somewhat be the hunter. Now, Nick Saban is a psychological master. He is the master splinter of college football. He's going to use Alabama being an underdog to his advantage leading up to the game. Bama doesn't have a problem focusing at practice, I promise you. You don't when you play Nick Saban. But we've heard reports how great of a week of practice it's been. And Bama will get up for this game. And early, Georgia fans, if it's tight, if maybe it doesn't look beautiful and the teams are feeling each other out, don't panic. Because there's one word that we have used all year to describe Georgia. What is that word?
Gravity.
Gravity. Gravity.
Taking hold of me.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it goes, but maybe. Georgia's been like gravity. Now,
Alabama, like I said, will come in, punch them in the mouth early a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised. You've seen teams be able to sometimes move it in between the 20s against Georgia, but this game will come down to the red zone. It'll come down to the red zone. And I think it's going to come down to Georgia's offensive line, actually, versus Alabama's front seven on defense. Because if Georgia's able to run the ball, Stetson will have no problem. And watch Stetson's legs. There will be a couple times in this game where it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7. Bama will get in two man. Stetson will run for the first down. I got a feeling it may be on the last drive to ice it. But for the Georgia fans that are worried, the Georgia fans that feel like, oh, here we go again, this is a different team. And as much as you try and use years past, you can't. I'm not a trends guy. Every year is different. Every group is different. Even if it's the same group coming back, they're still different because they're older and they're more veteran. The best advantage that Georgia has in this game is their experience. That's what's going to get them over the hump. Not just talent. They've had talent. They've had tons of talent. It's experience. It's not panicking. Oh, we're down 3-0. Here it goes again. Or, hey, Georgia, we're up at halftime again. They've been up on Alabama at halftime in the last 3 games and lost all 3 of them. This group won't panic.
And second halves usually come down to what? What do you think? Second halves? Coaching adjustments?
Well, it's a multitude of things. It's depending on how the first half is going. Because while you do have to make adjustments, if it's going well still, if Georgia is able to line up and physically run the ball at Alabama and get 3.5 to 4 yards a carry a pop, Georgia's going to win the game. Because I don't see a world in which Alabama torches this Georgia defense. I've said it all year. All year, from the jump. I don't see a team scoring 24 points or more against Georgia. And they have it. So if you're a Georgia fan again, I know there's pressure. Well, hell, pressure creates diamonds. You wanted this. You wanted to be in this spot. When y'all were going 9-3 and you know, Florida was dominating and stuff like that, y'all wanted to be in this spot. Well, guess what? You got it. And you got the team that not only has a chance to win it, you got the team that is going to win it. What do you think, Cone?
It's clear to anyone who's watched college football this season that Georgia is the best team in the country. They
Agreed.
Have the best players, and those players are playing the best football. But that's not what excites me as much about this Georgia team as it is their mentality. They are so confident right now, and I know that it is easier to be confident when you have the best players and those players are playing at a high level, but still, the monkey is on their back to get over this hump, right? Just like you said, I mean, not only falling to this team in the SEC championship and in national championships, but doing so in the second half. This team is so confident right now. I think you said it the other day. They are dictating the terms with every team they sit down at the table with, right? And that has to be exciting if you're a Georgia fan. And I'll stand by my statement 2 weeks ago. I think Georgia, I think Kirby Smart wants to go through
he
Nick Saban
it.
To do this.
You're damn right.
Not
he does.
Georgia fans. Georgia fans who are right over here, who we just saw at the stadium, they're going to be playing right back here behind us. They would rather see Auburn for a second time this season. They may rather see Ole Miss or maybe even Texas A&M. But Kirby Smart, it will not be validated what he's built until he walks across and meets Nick Saban at midfield and shakes his hand and says, "Nice game, coach, but we got this one."
Yeah. Well, there's an old, you remember, you know, the Pat Dye Bear Bryant, him walking up to him and saying, "Listen, you got better players than we are, but we're about to fight you." Mm-hmm. It's about to be a fight. This is not the case here. Mm-hmm. Georgia's got experience. They've got talent. And I'll tell you what, if you don't do it this Saturday, you're going to see them again. You're going to see them again.
If they don't do it this Saturday, I'd be surprised. If it doesn't happen this Saturday, I don't know when it's going to happen. Because when does Georgia have a better football
That's
team?
What I'm saying. You have never been poised or positioned better than you are right now. I'm telling you, we can talk about offensive line and defensive line and all that stuff, and that's right. That's right. But you know what? Experience will always be king, boys. It will always be king. And these guys have been through it.
For sure. I think this matchup, which a lot of people aren't talking about, it's both the quarterbacks on this football team. You think where Stetson Bennett came from this year, right? Back up.
Yeah.
JT was the man. Bryce, the golden child.
Yeah.
Right?
The chosen one.
Yeah, the chosen one, right? And you talked about Stetson being able to do what? Extend plays.
Yeah.
You know, what's Bryce Young really good at?
Extending plays.
Extending plays. Stetson feet and decision making this game is going to be huge, especially if they get into third and longs, third and mediums. Stetson being able to make the big time throws, because his knock on him his whole career was a deep ball and feeding the ball in the tight windows in pressure situations.
Well, they can't hide him this game.
They can't hide him. Because Bama's defense is going to get up for this game.
Oh, you better
believe it. So I think this game's going to have a lot to come down to is which quarterback can extend the play the most and have the most success down the field. Because if you're an Alabama football team against this Georgia defense where no one can move the ball, you're not going to nickel and dime your way down the field.
No.
You have to hit explosive plays to win this game.
Yeah, and we're going to get into keys to victory, and you'll see the one with Alabama. I've got a few ideas of some things I think you might see in this game. But, again, and I don't like speaking just 100% to one fan base. And y'all know, I mean, I'm not a Georgia fan. I didn't grow up a Georgia fan. You know, everybody's a fan of somebody. But this is the team. This is the time. This is the time. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, it's going to happen. And look, Nick Saban and people saying you bet against Nick Saban, you're crazy. And you know what? That's a logical and rational thing to say. It is, because they haven't proven it yet. But I don't know how you can't look at this season, not only at Alabama and Georgia, but in the full scope, in the 360-degree view, and say which team, name another team that has been as consistent in all three phases. Mm-hmm. People forget how good Georgia is on special teams. Who has been as consistent in all three phases as Georgia? Nobody has. And guess what? By this time of the year, you've shown us who you are. Mm-hmm. I know who you are.
When we say, if not now, when, who did we just say that about last week in rivalry week? Right? We said that about Michigan. Right? Mm-hmm. We said, if not now, when? Everything is primed for this moment. And what did they do? I wouldn't be surprised to see Georgia do something similar. I'm not talking about going up toe-to-toe and sort of squeaking out a win, which in and of itself would be great anytime you can beat Nick Saban, especially in a championship. I wouldn't be surprised to see this Georgia team go and dominate the way they have been doing, because they're going to get up for this game in a way that I don't think even Alabama has been gotten up for yet.
Oh, for sure. Well, again, this game means more to them than any game they've played. It means more than Florida. It means a hell of a lot more than Georgia Tech.
And it's because of the losses.
It's because of that.
That's what I was saying about
it's
Michigan.
Because of that.
Anytime you get beat over and over and over again, and especially in the second half, and get it yanked away from you, just think about Tua throwing that whole shot to Devontae Smith in the national championship. It's because of those losses that this means so much.
And they feel like it defines them.
Yes.
They feel like this game, you can say what you want, and every game's important, and I get it. But this game, these Georgia guys, they came back for this game. They didn't come back for Georgia Tech. They didn't come back for Tennessee. They came back, Jordan Davis and all those guys came back because they wanted to win this one. They wanted to be the group that said, you know what, 1980, screw it, 2021. It's the revenge tour. It's like that video game where you get to the boss and you just keep losing. You go through the whole game. Screw the checkpoints. The whole game, you're fighting mid-boss, mid-boss, mid-boss. You get up to the big one, and he just slaps you around three times. The whole time you're going to that video game, you are thinking about that. That is what is going to define how well you do. And that's just the nature of the beast. And you know, facts don't care about your feelings, this, that, and the other. This is the one.
Does the Padawan become the master?
Yes. When does Obi-Wan disappear?
Hey, you might have to go get seven of them first, but yeah. Yeah.
When does he best them? Because listen, Jimbo beating Nick Saban is one thing during the regular season. Huge, huge training him. This is for the marbles. Mm-hmm.
At a neutral site.
That
one was on the road for Alabama.
That's a great point. This one's for the whole chitty chitty bang bang. This is what it's for. And this is why you came back. What's the Booster Club saying?
We have a $9.99 donation from the one and only, the Salty Dog.
He's salty.
First of all,
he
wants to clarify and let everybody know here that he's back. Right?
He's back?
I'm back. Yeah, he's back.
Like Texas?
Yeah,
or like for real back?
I think for real back.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I like what
Don't
you
be
did
like
there.
Texas.
So to clear this up, all right, would Michigan physically get pushed around by Georgia, and why or why not?
Okay, we got to look at sides of the ball here, because whenever you look like in aggregate of it, whenever you look like in aggregate of it, we're saying, are they going to get pushed around? What does that mean? Well, you've got the Michigan offense versus the Georgia defense and the Georgia offense versus the Michigan defense. I tell you what, fellas, these are two of the best front sevens in college football. I'd love to see a game that had Jordan Davis, Carter, and all those guys up front for Georgia versus Aiden Hutchinson and Jobu on the other side going against the Georgia offense. You know what that game comes down to? Who can run the ball? I don't think Michigan. I think Harbaugh would play it pretty close to the vest, man. I don't think he'd be out there throwing shots left and right. I think it'd be a very physical game. Obviously, you look at how talented everybody is up front. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia eventually would be able to have success running the ball as the game went on. I'm telling you guys, Georgia, it's not about the first quarter for Georgia. That's not what they do. Georgia is not the quick strike cobra. That's they don't just get up and hit you and kill you. They're like the python or the anaconda. They grab you, get a good grip of you, and they squeeze you to death for the whole game.
Yep.
Everything seems so difficult when you're playing towards the small things. Getting to 2nd and 7 is astronomical against Georgia. It's astronomical. So when I look at would they push each other around, this, that, and the other, when I look at it from a total standpoint, I think early it would be very close. It'd be physical. But again, the Georgia team, when you show me who you are, I'm going to believe you. If somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Georgia's shown you from the second. They've given up 7 points in the second quarter of the whole year. That's unbelievable. And you know what? They probably haven't given up a ton in the third and the fourth either. Like I said, they throw more shutouts than Noah Syndergaard in his prime.
I believe they're averaging right now giving up 6.8 points a game.
That is – just think – just for 1 second, just think about that. I don't care if you're playing in the Sun Belt. That's hard to do with the rules nowadays. Hell, you can't touch receivers now. You can barely hit the quarterback. You know, they'd rather you sit there and play patty cake, Baker's man than take somebody out across the middle. So at the end of the day, I think Georgia would beat Michigan. But I think right now, if Bama does lose to Georgia and they don't get in the playoff, Georgia and Michigan are the two best teams in the country. Right? Who else is there?
Physically, yes. They're the best teams in the country.
And guess what? They're two of the best teams in the country where? At what position?
Up front.
Wow, it's amazing, right? How that's always the case. You name one team that has won a championship in football that wasn't good up front, and I will take you to Hogwarts and buy you a butterbeer.
Those are pretty good.
Sounds fun.
Got a question here from Trip Tepper, hashtag AskJBoy.
Keep your feet.
Does Georgia have this subconscious notion in the back of their mind that win or lose they're in the playoff, and how could that impact them if they do get down early?
Look, that is a good question,
Look, it is a good question. I'm going to tell you right now. Georgia, they're not looking ahead. This is the one. Mm-hmm. In reality, if you really want to talk about it, because if Michigan played Bama, I think it'd be a hell of a game. This, to me, this may be the hardest step you got to take to win it. Mm-hmm. And subconsciously, they want this game probably more than any other game that they're going to play, as crazy as that sounds. That's just the truth.
Yeah, this to Georgia, this isn't the SEC championship.
No, they're not looking ahead. Like they would, and you know what? If they do get up, and I'm not saying this will happen, I don't think they're going to stop.
No.
I don't think Kirby stops. I mean, if it's, man, you know, Bama comes out and play the way they played against Auburn or play the way they played against LSU or this, that, and the other, Kirby's not going to stop.
You don't see a route coming
you? But what I'm saying, you never know how the game's going to go. What I'm saying is all of a sudden they go in the game and Bryce Young throws a pick six early and, you know, it's 28-7 or something like that, you know, going in the fourth quarter. Kirby ain't just going to sit there and just, you know, knee it out. They get a chance to go 35-7. They're going to do it. Because this is recruiting. Yeah. This game is so big for recruiting. What's the one thing that Nick Saban has been able to say against Georgia every time he goes in the living room? He's like, yeah, you're right. My son hasn't beat me. But guess what? Kirby will be able to walk in there and be like, you know, it's like that first time you beat your dad in basketball on the goal out in front of the yard. When he's getting older, you're getting bigger. That's a big deal. This is what this is for Kirby. This is Kirby as a 14-year-old going out and finally beating his dad on the goal in the front yard. That's what this game is. You can say it's an oversimplification, but that's what this game is.
I would agree. We got a donation here, a $4.99 donation from the one and only David Heron.
D,
who were the two best coordinators this year in the SEC, and why is it Lanning and Briles? KJ's development was unreal.
All right, David. First off, I'll say this. Y'all are very fortunate if y'all keep Kendall Briles for 2 more years. Kendall, you know, because, you know, it's funny, Kendall and Lebby, you know, grew up together. They're buddies. There's pictures of them, you know, playing Sega Genesis or whatever together. But if I had to pick the best coordinators, I'm going to go Dan Lanning, obviously. Kirby's not a coordinator. I know it's his defense, but he lets Dan do a lot now. And Dan is very well polished, and the players love him. Watch the way they interact with him. Kirby gets him fired up. Kirby and Dan get him coached up. Dan gets him fired up. It's a great combo. I mean, Dan is to Kirby what Kirby was to Nick.
Sure.
So he's paying it forward. Because Kirby was a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby wasn't some 40-year-old coordinator that came in there. So when I'm looking and I want to pick the best coordinators, I would say Dan Lanning would be one. You could make a case for Kendall Briles. I totally understand that. You look around the rest of the SEC, you look at A&M, you know, could you say Mike Elko? But if I had to pick an OC, and I will say, David, and I've said this on the show, I thought KJ Jefferson has made the biggest jump out of any quarterback from last year to this year. You could say Bo Nix. You could say Bo Nix made a big jump. Obviously, it's Bryce's first year. But looking around, you know, the rest of the league, I don't think you're too far off, David. I mean, Arkansas won 8 games. They'd won 8 games like the past 4 years combined. But Kendall did it. Here's what makes what Kendall did special. We all know what the Briles do. We're going to go fast. We're going to get crazy splits from the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw it around. He really brought in, you know, part of that air raid, you know, going back and look how mummy that tree. But Kendall's done it a different way. And you know what? It's made Kendall better. If I want to hire somebody to do a job, or to be a head coach and I don't have to worry about offense, would you rather have a guy that's a one-trick pony and it's a hell of a trick, or a guy that can do multiple things with multiple personnel? Because guess what? When you take a job somewhere else, you're inheriting that personnel pretty much. I know you have the portal and all that's great. You're inheriting the personnel. So it's a great question. Let's get to keys to victory.
Let's see who we got first here. I believe it's Georgia.
Georgia, it's very simple. Be yourself. You don't have to do anything outside of yourself. Stetson Bennett doesn't have to throw it 30 times. You don't have to get there and run empty the whole game. You need to dance with the one that brought you. Establish the run. Establish the quick game. Hit your boots. Hit your waggles. Take some shots to keep them honest in the back end and loosen them up for the rest of the game. Defensively, you don't have to bring a ton of pressure. Dan, you don't have to go. You look at Alabama's, the right side of Alabama's offensive line. That's what I'm – if I'm an Alabama fan, that's what I'm looking at. Because they made T.D. Moultrie look like Lawrence
Taylor. 7 sacks. Gave up 7 sacks.
And Derek Hall looked like Derek Thomas. But when I look at Georgia, you got here because of who you are and the way you play. You don't have to change anything just because that Alabama logo. That Alabama logo sometimes makes you want to change things. We got to do this a little bit more. We got to try this. No. You need to dance with the one that brought you. You've been consistent because you've been consistent. And you have an identity. You said it earlier. We've said it on the show all week. Georgia dictates the terms. The Treaty of Versailles, Georgia's France. Here's what it is. Here's what you got. Now, that didn't work out great. But at the end of the day, the team that dictates the terms dictates the result. And that's who Georgia is. Be yourself. That's all you have to do. Alabama. You know, they have to shake it up a little bit to me. And you say, Jake, what do you mean by shake it up? I think you're going to see some tempo.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked if you saw tempo. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw them take a little bit out of Tennessee's playbook a little bit with the way they operated.
Quick game, yep.
Yep, getting the ball out quick. That's what you have to do.
Have to.
You know, and again, you've got to show that you can throw it deep. You've got Jamison Williams. You've got a quick strike score. You're going to see some trick plays from Bill O'Brien. You'll see a flea flicker. You'll see a reverse. You may see a throwback screen to Bryce Young. You're going to see some of that stuff. But also, it's about moving the pocket, changing the launch point. Mm-hmm. You are not going to beat Georgia with 3-step, 5-step drop consistently. Bryce is going to have to extend the play. He's going to have to take off. He's going to have to run, which that's going to be a big part of this game. Bryce, if you can run and get 5, you got to go run and get 5, brother. It's not there.
Yep.
And you can't sit there and try and duck your shoulder on N'Kobe Dean because you'll get Mr. Potato Headed. They'll be picking your arms and legs up off the turf. Boots, waggles, sprint out.
Mm-hmm.
I would sprint out so much on Georgia on first down. Just throw stick.
Mm-hmm.
Make them adjust. They'll start to run trap, then hit them with the vert off stick. Run your snags. Run your whips. Run your meshes. You have got to do things a little bit different than lining up and saying, here's vanilla ice cream, boys.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And then on defense, they really don't have to change anything. That's the thing. Alabama's going to play defense the way that they've played it.
Will Anderson? They'll play well.
They will. Listen, Alabama's going to play well on defense in this game, especially early. But if you're Alabama on offense, you have got to do something a little bit different. And I'm sure Bill's had something saved in the bag. You didn't see him get really, you know, Joe Exotic versus Auburn. Pretty vanilla ice cream. You're not going to be able to come in with that game plan and do this against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Because your ice cream will melt.
You know, mostly what we say is make sure you run to establish the pass, right?
Yep.
I think what they need to do is they need to quit game to establish the run.
And you know what have we called those? modified runs.
Or reverse pitches. Pitching backwards. Like in baseball.
That's exactly
they
right.
They need to pitch backwards a little bit here, maybe quick game their way to establish a run in that second
You've got to get
quarter.
In the second
they need,
six.
They need to somehow stretch this defense vertically and horizontally, sideline to sideline, and take deep shots.
Let's see. Here's the devil in the details. Y'all want to win the water cooler? We'll do it. Here's the problem you run into. You say, okay, that's great, Bama. You want to stretch the field vertically. Unless you are going max pro.
Yes.
And what do I mean by that? Keeping the running back in, keeping
a
tight end in
yes.
to block. And that's great. You'll get more time. But the only problem with that, now two guys are out of routes.
Yes.
So now Georgia can double you at two places. They can bracket you at two places. So you're really robbing Peter to pay Paul. But if you're going to do it, a guy like Jameson Williams, he can run by two guys. He can. But to me, it's the threat of it.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's the
absolutely.
Threat to keep those Georgia safeties from doing what?
Yep, creeping down.
Walking down. And then Brian Robinson, I know he's strong and big and this, that, and the other. Guess what? They're strong and big, too. They've got the strongest and the biggest and the fastest.
That's
and
why,
they're pissed.
That's why Bryce Young's feet is so important in this game.
It's huge.
And
look,
so you don't
huge.
Have to go max pro.
That's it, yeah.
So you don't have to do it. Bryce Young has been doing it the entire year. This man's probably going to win the Heisman. He's been doing it the entire year. He's been getting out of the pocket, and he's not a slow runner. He's an anticipatory runner.
He is.
Okay, and if he can do that, all right, and if somehow Jameson – if Jameson Williamson's ever one-on-one, if he's ever one-on-one, throw him the ball.
Dude, I cannot wait to see Darion Kendrick versus Jameson Williams one-on-one. This NFL – you're about to watch an NFL game Saturday at a lot of places. There's a lot of guys that are going to be playing in that dome here in a couple years from now as well, next year as well. All right, let's get to the next group. Oklahoma State went on first down. Defensively, I do not worry about Oklahoma State. But for Oklahoma State to have success doing what they do, and it's funny saying this with a Mike Gundy coach team. It's really funny saying this. They have got to be able to establish the run game on first down to keep that offense on schedule. Because the problem you're going to run into, once Dave Aranda figures you out, once he's got a grasp of it, you're in trouble. Dave makes adjustments as good as anybody that I've seen. He is unbelievably smart when it comes to defensive positioning, calls. And you look on the side and you're like, man, it looks like he's not even saying anything. Believe me, he's said a lot. And when Dave speaks, people listen. If Oklahoma State is not able to establish the run with Sanders, the quarterback, I know he's their best runner. If they're not able to do it on early downs, this is going to be an ugly, gross, low-scoring game. And you know what? I think that's the way Baylor wants it. 5.5-point spread. Oklahoma State has not been winning pretty, but they've been winning. But they're also a team that if they establish a run early and they're getting into second and fives, that play action game becomes dead. That's where Sanders and those guys start to hurt you. Because then you got to start taking chances, right? We said it earlier, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Moving one guy from one spot to the other doesn't automatically fix everything. Sometimes it fixes it, but you worry about what you're doing on the back end and where you moved from. So it's going to be huge for Oklahoma State. I think that's what the game's going to come down to. If Oklahoma State wins this game or loses this game, go look at the yards per play on first down. Mm-hmm. If it's under 3.5, I bet they lose. I bet they lose.
You know, the last time these teams did play, it was 24-14, Oklahoma State. And you go down, you kind of look at the numbers a little bit, right? And the huge number, what you hit on is Warren had 36 carries for 130 yards and two touchdowns. They established dominance on both sides of the ball. Didn't give up a point to the fourth quarter.
I know.
Right? So if Oklahoma, exactly what you did, just be who you are.
Just be on schedule.
Be who you are.
Just be who you are and be on schedule. That's it. That's it. Baylor. Swing for the fences. What do I mean by this? Oklahoma State is a team that if you do get up on them, and their defense has been smothering. We talked with Sean Salisbury about this. Their defense has been smothering. But if you get up on them, they are not built to come back. But Baylor is not going to be able to line up and run split zone for four quarters and win this game. You're going to play right in what Oklahoma State does. You have got to take shots. It ought to be like a Little John video. Shot, 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 shot. Everybody at Baylor. You've got to stretch it vertical. You've got to. We said the same thing about Georgia a little bit to loosen that defense up. You're not going to consistently move the ball 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 plays against this Oklahoma State defense before they either turn you over or hold you to three or hold you to a punt. You have got to score from 40 yards out. They're really good in the red zone, too, by the way. You've got to score from 60 yards out. You have got to take shots. This can't be everybody crawl in their cocoon and let's just try and figure it out to the fourth quarter. That is exactly what Oklahoma State wants you to do. That's what they do to you. You look at Oklahoma State and you're like, oh, well, it's going to be a defensive battle, guys. Take shots. Mm-hmm. You cannot call this game afraid on offense against Oklahoma State because the risk is not nearly as big as the reward is. You get up 10 points on Oklahoma State and don't just absolutely lose your mind like muff a punt or something like that. You're going to beat them. Oklahoma State just makes you make the mistake. They don't beat you. They let you beat you. And those are teams that normally win because most teams, said it all the time, they don't win games. They lose them. They lose them. All right? Michigan, just calm down, Cade. Talking about Cade McNamara, the quarterback for Michigan. You do not have to be Brett Favre in this game. Harbaugh should not let you be Brett Favre in this game. You guys, Iowa's going to have a problem scoring, I'm telling you right now. Aiden Hutchinson, you know, the number one overall pick, is going to have a field day. He's going to, in Joe Boot, they're going to have a field day. Iowa will not score more than 14 points. The only way Iowa scores more than 14 points is if Michigan starts throwing the ball around and Iowa's secondary has better hands than a lot of people's wide receiver groups. And typically when they pick it off, they're going to the crib. You can't lose this game because Cade McNamara tried to join the Globetrotters. You can't do it. Line up. Give it to Haskins, run your play action, hit your intermediate game, hit a shot every now and then. That's the name of the game for Michigan. Don't do stupid stuff. And I'm saying Cade can't go out there and throw for 250, 300 yards, but it needs to be the right 250, the right 300 yards. Because Michigan, I believe, will be able to run the ball eventually. And Iowa won't be able to keep up and score. And if you're in Iowa, look, what's that show? This is us. Embrace the ugliness. You aren't the 10 that's on the runway when it comes down to flashiness and everything. You're not. You're not Zoolander. You know, you're not Giselle. This needs to be Uncle Fester. This needs to be Sherman Klump. This needs to be something from the Grudge. It needs to be ugly. You're winning this game 14-13. 17-13, not 31-30. Michigan scores more than 17 points. You can wrap this one up and put it under the tree and wait for Christmas. You got to embrace the ugliness. To our buddy Logan Swaim, I don't know, man. Michigan, it's house money.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's house money.
But I would still tell them, understand, you have not finished.
You haven't.
You
and
have
don't
not
let
finished.
Cade throw the ball 40
Last
times.
Week was great. Fantastic. Yeah. You have not finished. Take advantage of this opportunity. Go get this one.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I agree. But Iowa's got to embrace the ugliness. Yeah. All right. Let's get Sean Salisbury in here. We're going to get back to the Booster Club. All right, very excited to bring on a guy we've had on before. Had him on a while ago. It was one of my favorite interviews. Former USC NFL quarterback. Guy knows football. The Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790. He's been on ESPN, Comedy Central, BattleBots, movies with Adam Sandler. The only thing he hasn't done is run for president, and that may be next. Sean Salisbury, what's up, man?
I'm doing good. I don't need all that stuff exposed. You don't want me to run for president. No, all's good. Look, great to be with you. Nowadays, what the hell? The more transparent you are, the better off you are. So, no.
Hey,
great to be on with you.
Yeah.
I can assure you I'm never running for president. I can't even run. I'm trying to run my own. I can't even run my nose half the time. So, I'm glad to be on talking some football, and it's great to be back with you again, brother. You're doing a great job.
Oh, well, Sean, coming from you, man, that means a lot. I really appreciate it, my friend. And I want to start. I mean, you're a guy that played at USC. You know, you're from California. You know what USC should be, or you know what USC can be or has the capability to be. When you heard about the Lincoln Riley hire, what was your reaction? You know, again, there's a lot of noise on the outside about how he left, whatever, whatever. But just overall, your thoughts on Lincoln Riley going to USC?
Well, one school's loss is another school's gain, and the same people that are yelling that Lincoln Riley left, if all of a sudden Dabo wanted to leave Clemson and go to Oklahoma, they'd go pluck somebody from another school. I get
That's
it.
Exactly
and I
right.
Listen, Oklahoma's going to go on and still be great, and Southern Cal needed it because we've had 10 years of floundering and mediocrity. I was ecstatic. I personally, if we needed a home run hire, I don't call it a grand slam hire until we win a national title or in that hunt. Mm-hmm. So, but if guys available to go get, let's face facts. He's a quarterback. You know, he's trained the quarterback offense. They bring Alex Grinch with him. We need this. But one thing that's been bothering me about SC over a long time, I say it all the time, is our arrogance as a Trojan alum, as, you know, whether it's Board of Regents. We assume, well, this is USC. it's your pleasure to come coach our place because this is tradition and history. These 18-year-old kids don't give a rat's ass about tradition and history.
That's true.
As long as it expands, if it expands outside of 5 years, name, image, and likeness. Can you recruit? Can you put a fence around Southern California? Can you get these kids to a national title? Can they play on Sunday? All those things that Lincoln understands. I don't care if a guy's 70 or if a guy's 30. As long as you can bring the energy and match it with the same as the players. But this is a great hire. And the arrogance also that USC is always, I don't think, my man, that we've had a guy. Pete Carroll in 2009, I think, was the highest paid coach in college football at like $4.3 million or something, around there, somewhere in that range. I don't know. I don't think Clay Helton ever made $5 million. We have never been in that realm where we're throwing $11 million with all this. And it was time. Mike Bone did an unbelievable job. You go out and hire what you think is the best guy available. And now Lincoln's got to go to work. But recruits will stay. They'll put a fence around Southern California, I hope. And then he'll get to work. And we got to make sure there's physicality. But build a new tradition. We got to get out of our arrogance.
Yeah, and you know, Sean, too, we've talked about this all week. I mean, the college football landscape now for a coach going from one place to the other, especially at a place like USC, you can flip it a lot quicker. You look at the transfer portal. I mean, it's basically free agency. I mean, Lincoln's already going to bring some of the guys from Oklahoma, especially on the offensive side, that were difference makers. He's got quarterbacks and people committed in California that have already switched their commitment there. But when you look at how quick it could get flipped around, in a Pac-12, Sean, that outside of Oregon and Utah, you look around and you feel like you already can stack up. How long do you think it's going to take for Lincoln Riley? I think he could hit the ground running.
Well, I can tell you this. Trojan fans aren't waiting until 2024. They expected that at $11 million, they want it to happen yesterday. And listen, Lincoln knows that. Those are the expectations for big schools. And even though SC's been down the last decade or so and kind of, you know, not dominating the landscape and they're not intimidating when you walk out the Coliseum tunnel. There is expectations. It's still USC. You still get great players. And it used to be in order to get that one guy that maybe like a corner or a strong safety or linebacker that could help your defense or a lineman that you go get from El Camino Junior College, right? That is the transfer portal now. That is these guys who automatically leave. I mean, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of guys to choose from. And then recruits. We know these 17 and 18-year-olds, they are dominating college football in a hurry. Yeah. They're well beyond their years. They get great reps in high school. So, yeah, I don't expect us to be looking around. Put it this way. In 3 years, I don't expect us to just be getting started. I expect us to be in a position to be in the Final Four and to be playing for a national championship. And I would imagine Lincoln does, too. This isn't a rebuild. This is stock them up, finally get the recruiting back, and bring a coach in here who understands what it takes. Yeah. I think this is one hell of a hire by Mike Bone, and it'll be attached to him at the hip for his entire time as the athletic director at SC.
You know, to me too, Sean, Lincoln going there signals, and I've heard it from multiple people, that we are going to a 12-team playoff. The question is, will it be 12 where you get the G5, gets the automatic bid? I always thought they should have a top 25 for Power 5, top 25 for Group of 5, number one team out of Group of 5 automatically gets in. But, you know, how do you think about expanding the playoff? I think 12's as high as we can go. You know, I wanted 8. I think 12's as high as we can go before we start messing with the regular season, which in my opinion is one of the greatest regular seasons in sports, which is in college football. What are your thoughts on expanding the playoff?
Yeah, I'm with you. I love college. I mean, first of all, I love college football regardless, but the regular season, think about how precise you have to be. You don't get like the NFL where you lose two or three games, or college basketball where you still get to jump into it. You lose two and you're going home. And so every single week matters, and they also can knock you off. The 12th team can beat the first team. I don't want any more than 12. I'm not one of these 32 or 16. I'm okay with 8, at least for now. I am. Because I do believe that a team that, like Oklahoma State, if they should get left out the way their defense is playing this year, that, man, can you imagine in an 8-teamer, will they get a chance to go better defense? They got playmakers. Mike Gundy's a great coach. Hell, even Dave Aranda, what he's done at Baylor. So I'm with you. I'll take 8, but I'll deal with 12. But I don't want more than that because I don't need a watered-down tournament. We're in truth. When you've got to go through the whole playoff, if there are 16 teams, the 16 team just depth-wise and physicality is not going to be able to go three, four games and handle those and play Alabama and play Georgia and play Oregon. And then here we are. So the Pac-12 for them, They've been a weak conference for a while. I mean, it's subpar. They needed this. SC needs to get back into this mix. But I'm all about a 12-team playoff. I'm more about an 8-team, but I'll take 12 because yeah. I'd like to see if the 10th-ranked team in the country can beat the 2nd or 3rd-ranked team and how they go. But we need it. It sounds so stupid not to have it. It just needs more money and more interest. And I think it's coming down the pike. Sooner the better for us.
Well, you know, Sean, we'd done everything up until this week with our top 12, what the matchups would look like, and it's unbelievable matchups. I mean, dream matchups. I mean, we had one scenario a couple weeks ago. You had Cincinnati playing Kentucky. I mean, you got Georgia playing Ole Miss. I mean, it's just there's so many cool matchups that you could have that college football needs, and I think it's going to help increase parity in recruiting, even though this has been the year of parity. A couple more here with Sean Salisbury. The Sean Salisbury Show, one of the best out there. Make sure you follow him at Sean Filtered on Twitter, does a hell of a job. Sean, if you don't mind, I'm just going to run through these conference championship games and tell me who you like, if that's cool.
Okay.
All right, starting off with the big one here in Atlanta, Georgia and Alabama. What say you?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill O'Brien, their offensive coordinator, better play to win, not to lose, because you go two or three, three and outs, and you are punting from your own 10, Georgia's going to curb stomp your ass. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I agree.
And that's saying something, considering who the coach is and Nick Saban, they will be ready to play. But it's been a long time. Think about in 2019 how you felt about the LSU offense. What a show it was to watch, right?
Yep.
That's exactly how I feel about watching Georgia's defense.
Agreed.
Now, 6.5 points seems like a lot, but, man, is Georgia good. And that offensive line is going to have – I don't know how they're going to hold up, but it is Alabama. I expect a hell of a game. Georgia's the best team in the country. Georgia wins, you're playing the Heisman Trophy front runner. As long as this game is in the low to 20s and the teens, Georgia wins. If this thing creeps up to the 30s and then the winner, that'll mean if it's a high scoring affair and they get the over, Alabama will be in it. I like Georgia to win the game. They're the number one seed, and them and Michigan, in my opinion, the eye test, they're the two best teams in the country right now.
Man, what a great segue. You'd think he did it for a living now. Sean, Michigan playing Iowa. Is Iowa going to be able to score any points?
Every time we say something like this, Iowa just kind of plods along and they're 10-2.
I know, man. I know.
Yeah, it doesn't look real pretty. You say, but you wake up in the middle of the third quarter and you say, it's 13-10? Really?
Yeah.
How are they in this thing? Listen, if Michigan plays 85% of the way they did against Ohio State with emotion, now we always talk about Georgia's defense. Imagine that old school physical beatdown if Michigan gets to play Georgia. You better have a good supply of body bags if that game ever comes to fruition. But it's hard. Listen, human nature says, after Ohio State, what we did to them, how do you come back in a week? Mm-hmm. Well, this is the year you have to come back in a week. You've got to treat Iowa like it's Ohio State, although it's not. 10.5 points always seems like a lot in a conference championship. I just don't see how Iowa goes the distance three times or four times. I like Michigan. McNamara will make enough plays, and good luck blocking that front seven. They'll run the football. This could be a very, very, like a 31-10 game. I just don't see them scoring three or four touchdowns against Michigan.
Yeah, unless Michigan turns it over, and we talked about it in Keys to Victory, I think they're going to be able to cruise. But you're right, Michigan and Georgia, you better put the kids to bed early. That's when they're probably not going to be able to watch. It's going to be like a bunch of car wrecks out there.
If you're faint of heart, you don't want to watch that game, brother. You get yourself hurt.
That's exactly right. God, that'd be a hell of a matchup, too. All right, Pac-12, Oregon, Utah. Tough to beat a good team twice. Oregon got embarrassed, came back in the Civil War and beat Oregon State. It's so weird to say that for me, like in that vein. But it's weird. Who do you got in that game?
It is tough. Kyle Whittingham was my host on my BYU recruiting trip back in the day when he was a linebacker. Well, nice. I think he may be the most underrated great coach in the country.
I've been saying it all week, Sean.
We're on the same page. I actually, with all the names, every time our job came up over the past when Pete left, I said, go try to bring Kyle Whittingham from Utah to Southern Cal. He's physical. His players are smart. They get after it. And our team at SC, every time they go playing, they get punched in the face on a regular basis. I love Kyle Whittingham. But, man, you're going to place another good coach in Cristobal who have his team ready. I think in the end, on a fast track in Las Vegas, I'm going to give, since it's a second game, I'm pulling for Utah. I'm going to give Oregon the edge. I think this is a close game. There will be no blowout in this game again. Oregon's speed wins out. I think their offense has a tad bit of an advantage, but Kyle Whittingham's team will show up, and I hope I'm wrong on this pick. I'll take Oregon, but I like Utah.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off right there. All right, last one, Oklahoma State and Baylor. Dave Aranda, who has spoken four words during the entire season. Amazing how they continue to win.
I love both of these coaches' sideline demeanor. Gundy, they trust their coaches. Dave Aranda has that stoic look, doesn't say anything, but they're prepared. And the difference in Oklahoma State this time is whenever we think Oklahoma State, you know, we always say, and Baylor,
offense.
When Art Giles was there, is offense, yep. offense, score 70 points, we'll see who wins in the end. This is defense. What offense is going to give me the extra series, the extra touchdown, in the red zone, instead of kicking a field goal, score a touchdown? I actually think this is the most underrated game of the weekend. I do, and I love it. I think Oklahoma State wins in a close one. I'm still taking the over in the game, but Dave Aranda, Mike Gundy, another underrated coach. This is a hell of a matchup. I'm going to say Oklahoma State. And if Houston pulls a rabbit out of their hat and keeps this one close, and since he doesn't show up, Oklahoma State will make the Final Four. That should be an interesting game, too. 10.5 seems like a lot. But then again, I'm in Houston. I'll take Oklahoma State over Baylor in a close one. Both great defenses. I'm going to give Oklahoma State's offense the advantage in the end here.
Well, man, I mean, Sean, we're right aligned. I mean, that was perfect. What does he say on Old School when they ask Will Ferrell the question and he blacks out and answers it, and at the end he's like, well, we got nothing to say. That was perfect. That's about how I feel,
yeah,
Sean.
Now that I know you and I are aligned, maybe it's the stepbrothers where are we best friends? I mean,
yeah, you can call me Dragon. Yeah.
I love this guy.
I know, dude, Sean's the best. I bring him on every week. Sean, I appreciate it, my brother. Tell everybody where they can find your stuff. It's great stuff. A guy that says what he thinks and knows what he's talking about. That's a great combination. Sean, tell everybody where they can find you.
It's an honor to be on with you, and it sounds like you're going to have a blast down there. Two great teams in that incredible matchup, and I can't wait to see it. I'm at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter, and you can find me at Sports Talk 790, 6 to 10 in Houston Morning Drive, or on the iHeartRadio app, and like 74 other places as a guest. But I'm having a good time, and I always like joining you. It's been pretty awesome as always, man. Thank you.
Sean, it is, man. It's an honor to have you, my brother. Stay safe out there. Let's do it again soon. I won't wait too long next time. I waited too long this time.
Yeah. If you do, I'm going to turn you down. If you wait more than like 6 months, we're in trouble there.
Hey, lies. I know. I will not make that mistake, and we'll both be able to beat up my brother together. But all right, Sean, I appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
Conference championship games are here, and if you've never bet on college football before, there's never been a better time to give FanDuel Sportsbook a shot, because right now you can place your first bet risk-free. That's right. You'll get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. FanDuel gives you so many bets to choose from. There are a ton of player props, promos, and so much more. I've got a parlay for you this championship week. I got a four-legger. Give me Utah moneyline, Kent State moneyline, Wake Forest moneyline, and give me Georgia moneyline. And offers like this are just one of the many reasons that I love betting on betting college football on FanDuel. They're the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and the payouts are faster than Tyreek Hill when he hits the seam. This app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with the promo code JBOY, that's J-B-O-Y, to bet college football risk-free up to $1,000 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. That's promo code JBOY. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. First online, real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. The Tennessee Red Line's 1-800-889-9789, or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey guys, hold on. I think John Travolta and George Clooney just walked in here. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's Barrett Salee. And oh my gosh, the most jacked guy I've ever seen in person. It's Josh Pate. We're getting fan bombed here, or photo bombed. What's up, guys?
We're doing some TV right above
nice,
you. I texted
nice.
You and said I'm
you
sitting
did.
Right above you, and you looked so confused.
Well, no, I did. I looked up there and could see. It was like the Barrett Salee bat signal going on up here, you know, when I was looking at. But, no, we appreciate you guys coming out. Josh Pate making an appearance. It's about time we got
here,
Josh in person. But, no, I want to ask both of y'all if you do have a second. A lot of stuff coming on right now. Number one, before we get there, though, Josh, you said you'd be cool with joining the new council, not the alliance, the council of playoff partakenship, I guess you could say.
It has to happen.
It has to happen.
I mean,
it
has to happen.
It
and
has
listen,
to.
We're about to do a live shot up here for a network that won't be mentioned on air, but
oh,
I am telling you, there are a lot of awards up there.
There are.
There are a lot of trophies up there.
There are.
I respect the trophies.
Yeah.
Just like I respect the playoff.
Of course.
And I respect the Heisman.
No doubt.
The process with which we go about determining such things, not so much.
How the sausage is made is important.
Right. So if the car's got a broke down transmission, get a new car.
Yeah.
But if the car's got flat tires, we just change the tires.
That's exactly right.
So
that's a great analogy, Josh. This is why I hold you in such high regard. Your analogy game is on top. But real quick, I know you guys got to run in a second, but how are you feeling Georgia-Bama tomorrow?
Barrett thinks Georgia by 50. I only think Georgia by like 20.
Well, there you go. You know what? Then I'll go Georgia by 32.
Yeah.
You know, someone just to make it in. I do think they're in the first half. Yeah. I do think it's going to be pretty physical early. I think Bama's going to get up defensively for this game. You know, we've been having a great week of practice. Guys are flying around, whatever. But the word we've used to describe Georgia, it's gravity. You don't know it's there until you're 80 years old, hunched over, talking to your grandkids. You don't realize you're down 27-7 against Georgia until about halfway through the third. And you look up and you're like, wait a minute, I don't get it.
Look, good for little Obama for making it here.
Wow.
Good for them.
Josh. All right, pull the tiger by the tail.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man.
All right, that's the headset drop.
No, there it is, right there, for sure. Okay. You came, you saw, you conquered. I appreciate it, Josh. Barrett, as usual, brother, we're going to get you back on soon. I'm sure we'll see you guys. We'll be at the game tomorrow. I know Josh will be down there taking pics. We'll see you guys. Barrett, y'all be good. Again, look, it's all love here.
I love it.
I love it. So that's the best show bombing possible there, Josh Pate, Barrett, Sally. Make sure you guys check those guys out. Got a lot of respect for them. But we have received... just say we went out to the ocean and looked in there, and there was a bottle that had a mess that had something in it.
And you yanked that thing
and
out.
And I yanked the bottle out.
And there's
a lot of stuff coming out about Mario Cristobal right now. Cone.
I'm hearing right now.
You know,
that
what are you hearing?
Mario Cristobal is the only target for Miami.
Okay.
The AD can even wait. Okay. Mario is the only target. And they're saying that he might be at Miami by Sunday.
Wow.
By Sunday.
Well, so look, that makes sense though, because Manny Diaz is still the coach at Miami, guys. And if you're Manny Diaz, ooh, you just found out who the side chick was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
you
she's
just
better
found,
looking.
And she's better looking. She's got more money.
Well, what do I always say? Never underestimate the passion someone has for the university they suited up for. Whatever problems are happening down there, sounds like there are a lot of foundational issues.
You've had reports coming out that Oregon has countered with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly type numbers to keep Mario there, but sometimes, and again, we'll see. We're not saying it's a done deal. Believe me, we're not saying it's a done deal, everybody, but if this happens, it just shows you, like you said, when mama calls... A lot of times you answer, hey, got to be home before the streetlights come on. Yep. I'm telling you, if Mario goes there, that means they've scraped up a ton of money because Oregon has a blank check they could give him from Nike. Hell, they probably give him property across the country. Probably already have and outside of the country. But sometimes when mama comes calling and you put Mario Cristobal down at Miami, you're going to Texas back. Also, I'm telling you boys right now. You put him at Miami, that's a scary situation. And if you're Billy Napier right now, you're just kind of like, don't do it.
Sweeney right now, you're sleeping as good as you're usually sleeping these days.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. But at the end of the day, if this does happen, it's 2021. I mean, I would not be shut. This wouldn't be the craziest thing that happened. Actually, this would be the thing that made the most sense.
Hey, you know who's pulling for this hard is Lincoln. Lincoln's like, go ahead and
Lincoln's
make the
like,
path
Mario,
even
listen,
easier.
Flew over Oregon on the way out of here. Not a fan. Not for you. Go back to Miami.
Or take Oklahoma. That one's open.
Yeah.
That's probably what he told
him. Take OU. Take Miami. But if that happens, just check off another list on what's been a crazy offseason. Speaking of crazy offseason, and we're going to get to Brian Kelly putting on that accent here in a second. The Auburn offensive coordinator search. A couple names you were starting to hear. You know, you've seen reports, the guys that are on three, Hoke, Jay Lee, all of them do an unbelievable job. From what we've talked to as well, Del McGee is a name to keep an eye on. The problem, here's the decision Harsin has to make. Are you going to hire a guy that's a great recruiter and you're going to call the plays? Or are you going to hire a guy that's going to call the plays? Because, you know, you've heard a little Mickey Joseph, and then he takes a Nebraska job. I think Del McGee wants to call the plays. I don't know if Del McGee would come to Auburn just to be a really good mercenary recruiter. I know it's his alma mater, and we just talked about mama, but it's a little bit different right now when you're not the head guy. I don't know if Del would take the job if he's not calling the plays. But if Harsin hires somebody like a Del McGee, somebody like that, that's not calling the plays, Brian Harsin has made the decision, I'm going to call the plays. And if you're an Auburn fan, you're just like, man, are we going through this again?
Well, you know,
like where the head coach, and it goes to, and it brings us, because I think Frank Ponce is in it from App State. Del McGee's in it. Zach Hill, who's been around the bend. You've heard a little Andy Ludwig. You heard a little Matthew Wells, but I think it's going to come down to those first three. And if I was Auburn, you need players.
Yeah.
You need the best players. You need to go get a guy that can recruit. You guys can be, he can be the co-OC, whatever the hell you want to call it. You need dudes, because you can have the best play caller in the world. If you just say you can have the best race car guy that watches the NASCAR race, the looker or spotter, whatever they call him, you can have the best one in the world. But if the car doesn't go fast, it doesn't matter. If the players aren't good, it doesn't matter. And the only way you're going to cut into the gap that Alabama and Georgia, your two biggest rivals, have over you, is to get a guy that can go get some studs at multiple positions. And Del McGee can do that. People forget, Del McGee was the head coach at Carver. Del McGee runs Columbus. Del McGee can go into Georgia and start snatching guys. And the only way Auburn competes for championships is that they're constantly getting good players out of Georgia. Look at Bruce Pearl. That's the path. That's the path. So if it is Del McGee, that would be a grand slam to me.
I think Del was the interim coach at Georgia Southern for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I
mean, Del, look, Del's,
Georgia
Del's been in
from
this
Columbus.
A while.
Yeah, if you're Brian Harsin and you do this and you decide that you're going to call the plays, all right, man, it's on
well,
you.
See, but again, you got to think. Mike Bobo was not just the OC, and here's where I caution people when you're looking at searches. You have to look at the whole thing. He wasn't just the OC. He was the quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. So you've got to get it. Brian Harsin is not going to be the quarterback coach. He's not going to sit with the quarterbacks all of practice. That's not what he does. So who coaches the quarterbacks? Then you hear the name Damian Craig thrown out. Well, he did play quarterback. Damian could coach the quarterbacks. Dell, could he coach the quarterbacks? I don't know. He's been a running backs coach, you know, kind of running backs, tight ends, this, that, and the other. You've got to get a guy that can coach the quarterback, so you've got to watch for that angle too. That's why I think this hire, Brian Hartson's gone back and forth of, do I need to assign an assassin recruiter and figure out the rest later, or do I need to hire a guy that's going to call the plays and coach the quarterbacks? That's the decision you got to make.
That's why you're the head coach.
That's why you're the head coach. That's why you sit in the big chair. That's why you put your big boy pants on.
I'll coach him for double.
Double?
I'll coach him for double.
Doing for double. David yeah. Cone, Brian Hartson, David Cone is available, but for double.
Yeah, I refuse to coach at Auburn.
All right.
Well, fan base is toxic.
But that brings us really quickly to our Wickles
pickle
of the week.
I love it.
And not Luke Pickle eating a pickle. Here's what we got. Should head coaches call plays? Now, there's logical, and like I say this all the time, there's logical and rational ways of thinking about this on both sides. We had Hugh Freeze on here a couple months ago. And he was like, listen, I'm the OC. I call the plays. He's like, hardest part for me is at practice being able to go down and watch the defense. Because I'm sitting in the room coming up with the offense. He is the creator. He is the architect from the Matrix. He's in the white suit watching all 300 of the TVs making the decisions on offense. And it works for him. And my whole point, this is why I wanted this to be the Wickles Pickle of the Week. There's more than one way to skin a cat. We've seen it work both ways. Question is, what is the best way? And you know what the answer is? There is not a best way. It's whatever way is best for the person that you hire. If you're going to be a head coach that calls plays and hangs out with the offense, you better be able to really have a good relationship with the defense, and they need to understand. Guys like Hugh Freeze have been able to get the defense to understand. If I'm the wizard, I want to have the wand. Some guys are like that. Then you have other guys that are kind of CEO type, going to bring you in, let you do your thing within the parameters of what I want. And I have final say, obviously. Mm-hmm. If I want to run it, we're going to run it. You can call the play, the formation, but if I want to throw it, we're going to throw it. But it's also letting them coach. So there's multiple ways to do it. So to me, while it is the Wickles Pickle of the Week, which represents a problem, a nuanced problem, there is multiple solutions to this. It just depends on how well the guy can handle it's calling the plays. You look at Gus Malzahn in Auburn. It was like this. I'm calling the plays. I'm not calling the plays. I'm calling the plays. I'm not. And that provides you with instability. Whatever you're going to do, make the decision and stick with it. Because guess what? The guys on defense, if the offense is balling and they know you're calling the plays, they don't care. They're like, man, coach, you know. Coach always over there with the offense. You know what offensive coaches love? A great defense on their team because it makes them look better. Winning 24-21. 24 sounds like a lot more points when you win 24-21 as opposed to losing 31-24. Doesn't that number look different? You look at that 24 way different. That's why I made the point about Jeff Lebby if he was going to go to Oklahoma. If Venables was the head coach and he was the OC, I got to score 27 points. Shoot, that's half my quota at Ole Miss. Or it has been. Even though they've gotten better on defense this year, I think DJ Durkin won one of the most underrated jobs in the country as the DC there. So if you're going to have a guy that calls plays, let him do it. If it's working, great. If not, it's when you get into the problems of, all right, well, I'm not going to call plays anymore. You know what? I'm going to start calling plays. How many times in the college or NFL, look at Nagy from the Bears. This is another great example. How many times in college or the NFL and football in general have you seen a coach go from back and forth to calling plays and it work?
Yeah.
And it just work out. It doesn't. It's like changing quarterbacks every two series. It just doesn't. You want to know why? Because you can't get in a rhythm. The players can't. When I talked to Bryce Young on the Monday show, the Bryce Young podcast, we talk about Bill O'Brien all the time. And he even says, like, we had to build up chemistry. We had to build up rhythm. Now I got a feel of how he's going to call it. Bo Nix said the same thing. I got a feel of how Mike Bobo is going to call it. That's a real thing. Because a lot of times, guys, quarterbacks are going up to the line of scrimmage with two plays. That's bled down to the college game a ton. But all right, I'm going to get to Boost Club in a second, but I want to get to this Brian Kelly thing because it's hilarious. If you do not know, we got the clip, right?
We don't have the clip, no.
Okay, we don't have the clip. But Brian Kelly, run cut four. See, I'm learning. Brian Kelly went to the LSU basketball game and talked. And if you listen, kind of took some liberties with the Southern accent. The way he says family when he's talking to Dan Patrick is a little bit different when he's saying family. Tiger. You can tell. If you really listen to it, you can tell. Now, is it a huge deal? No. Is it part of, you know, does it look great? No. But what did I tell you guys about Brian Kelly? Like, this is what, this is it. They don't care. Who cares if he has a fake Southern accent? You go start beating people? They don't care if you dress up like the special teams coach from The Waterboy, Farmer Fran. Like, Farmer Fran, take the special teams. They don't care.
Special teams were solid that year, too.
They were, especially the onside kick team.
Beautiful.
But that was pretty good. But when I look at this, is it a huge deal? No. Are people going to make it a huge deal? Yes, because it was a weird exit from Notre Dame. Notre Dame people are going to make fun of it. LSU people will be like, I can't hear any accent. What accent?
Until he loses three or four.
It brings up a great discussion. What is the all-time worst attempt at a Southern accent? That people that were trying. I'm not talking about Michael Scott when he's Caleb Crawdad, I do declare.
His wasn't too bad.
On The Office. We have a few. Con Air, Nicolas Cage.
That's a bad one.
Not good. Charlize Theron. What movie was that?
Bagger Vance. I was Bagger in that movie.
Vance. That's right. You were in that. You were like the kid running up to the hole, right?
It needs all types in a movie. You know, you got to get a Cone was the pappy
six,
cat.
Cone was the 6'6", 7-year-old that was running up to
so
the
hole. So I had
thing.
To hear that one in person. Bad. Bad accent. Yeah. Bad accent.
That one's bad. We have, I mean, there's multiple others.
Paul Walker and Vanderbeek and Varsity Blues.
Those are bad. But bad ones. Ask the Booster Club real quick before we go. What is the worst Southern accent? Or just y'all can hear me. What is the worst Southern accent an actor's ever tried? Brian Kelly's was pretty bad, but it's just really hard to top Nicolas Cage. And
yeah, that's probably the worst one. John Voight in Deliverance had a bad one, I think. There's been some bad ones. They always stick out.
My girl's bunny rabbit.
It was like Colonel Sanders mixed with Forrest Gump.
Man, I'll tell you, on the other side, one of the best ones that got me is, I think her name's Kelly McDormand, the girl in No Country for Old Men.
Oh,
she's like
yeah.
Scottish. I think yeah. She's Scottish.
That was real.
I never knew until like I've seen the movie like 10 times and then found out. That was a great movie.
The guy from Wild Wild West who's in the wheelchair has the that best is, Southern yes,
that's because he's a theater actor.
I've
Kenneth
never
Branagh.
Seen.
That is, yes. First off, a great movie that is very underrated, but that is a great point.
What Dr. Loveless. That's his name in that.
Yeah,
Dr. Loveless.
He's like, welcome to the party,
Mr. West.
Mr. West.
Oh, I do declare. what is it saying in the Booster
it
Club?
It was beautiful. Hey, I'm going to get to this poll real quick. I got a couple things we're going to need to get to in this Booster Club. All right. I put out who wins the SEC championship.
Ooh.
All right. So you know what we do here. We're going to Price is Right it. And Cone, I'm sorry, but I am going to go. No? Should I go
wait,
Jake
wait, don't
first?
Do that. Don't point
should
at me.
Should I go
and then,
David
no,
first?
No, no, no. I'm going to go
it.
First.
I'll
David
take
wants it.
It. Huh? You
Matt,
want it?
Look,
go ahead.
This smells corrupt.
It gets you. Go this, ahead. The price is right.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. I say. They said Georgia 74%.
74, man. Because I was gonna go.
You
wait. What?
You okay?
What?
Go
what
ahead,
do you mean,
David.
What?
It's tainted.
Okay.
Come on.
It's
you know
not
what?
Tainted. Now you've told me
it's
enough.
Tainted.
I will go Georgia 74% and take the tie.
You can't do that.
Wow, that's crazy. Someone just voted as Georgia 73%.
Oh, I was gonna say 73%.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Hey, he's right. I can't triple. So I'll go Georgia 73%.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
You missed
it. All right, let's bring it back down here.
Go Hawkeyes.
The Green Soldier. guys. All right, let's lock it in. Yeah, the Green Soldier says, ask J-Boy. He says, appreciate you guys covering how you do. You guys are getting me through a rough moment right now, and I sincerely appreciate that.
Well, Green Soldier, number one, praying for you, my friend. Hope everything's okay. We appreciate you guys. And I do, before we go here in a minute. Again, look, we're here because we love doing this. And you know, the response has been amazing. The audience has been amazing. But as much as it is about us, it is really about you guys. Because without us, and I know Josh Payton and Barrett and all those guys would echo the same. Without you guys watching and you guys participating and you guys enjoying it with us, this would be nothing. This would just be us three sitting around in a room or at a sports bar talking about it, which we probably would anyway. But don't ever think we will ever forget how important the audience is, because it's about you guys, it's for you guys, and we really enjoy doing it. We appreciate you guys spreading the word, and Green Soldier, hope everything's okay, buddy.
Love you, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
Love you, man, for sure. And right, we appreciate you being here from the jump.
We got a couple here. All right, so we got Leonardo DiCaprio in Django.
Is his bad? Is it that bad?
Man, look, I don't think Leo's ever made a bad movie, though. I think we're being a little critical. I'm not Ebert or Roper. So I think we're being a little critical there.
All right, we got Matt Damon in the new movie Stillwater.
I have no
haven't
frame
seen
of
it.
Reference.
Haven't seen that one.
Throw the trailer up there, though. We'll take a look.
Haven't seen it.
Okay, Eric. And Erickson. Eric, sorry about the
Eric, are you all right?
Weeks,
does somebody need to check on
I'm
Eric?
I'm glad to see you back
Oregon
in
fan?
Here. I'm glad to see you back. He says, Brian Kelly talking to LSU reminds me of that cringe interview of Tarantino talking on that a certain talk show. Did any of y'all know what he's talking about? Apparently Tarantino.
Keep going.
Tarantino was on a talk show, and his southern accent was just terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, Quentin, you know, he's an okay actor. He just, like, plays the small roles. Unbelievable director, though.
He's so good. He's like, I'm going to throw myself in here as an actor.
He's like, that's exactly right.
And it'll be okay.
You know, I saw something, and I don't mean to digress, that Saving Private Ryan was supposed to be NC-17, but there's a rule called the Masterpiece Clause, where if the art is so good it outweighs the graphic violence, they put it as a R.
Really?
How crazy is that?
Talk about collusion.
Yeah. That's well, crazy. You know, it's a great movie.
We got a question here from Kyle Kennedy, the one and only Kyle Kennedy. Hashtag Ask J-Boy. Says, what's more embarrassing, Brian Kelly's southern accent or Lincoln Riley's brisket?
Hey, that's well done. Look, Brian Kelly's southern accent wasn't good. That brisket, oh my God, it was drier than what's next to my washer.
It's not just the accent; it's the fact that he would even attempt it. Like, everyone knows you, man. Like,
well, here's the thing: do you not have good enough? Sometimes I worry, like, people don't have good friends.
The PR.
If I was Lincoln Riley's friend, and I'd be like, "Hey, dog, don't take a picture of that, man." Like,
are we legitimately going to sit here and act like we're surprised?
No,
well, Brian Kelly, like, it's Brian Kelly.
Look,
guys,
I said the whole time, Brian Kelly is not going to win any awards for kindness, cuddliness, and great
PR
decisions.
He was flicking people off on the sidelines during
a game. Brian Kelly about chokeslammed a GA on live TV.
He said he's going to execute his team at halftime.
That was a joke.
Yeah, it was. But again, in today's society, we all know how people freak out. But
well,
look,
the delivery wasn't there either, you know?
Alabama didn't hire Nick Saban because he goes and reads children's books to kids all the time. And he's this unbelievably great person. And he actually is a really good guy. They hired him to win. Brian Kelly, if he wins at LSU, could be breakdancing nude in the middle of New Orleans and nobody would care. Would not care at all.
He'd be applauded.
He'd be applauded.
Like, wow, great move, Brian.
Yeah, they'd probably bring in a couple DJs.
Yeah. I agree.
But they brought him in there to win, not for warm cuddlies and warm fuzzies. And we'll see if he does, you know, or he doesn't. All right. We're going to get to bets after one more question, Blaine. Make it a good one.
All right. CJ Franklin, hashtag Ask J-Boy, says, who, in your opinion, has been the most overrated coach this year in college football?
Oh. Most overrated coach this year in college football.
Like,
that's
from
a
the
great
beginning of
question.
The season.
Yeah,
I would believe
it's got to
be
full
gotta
body
be
of
full
work.
Body, yeah.
I mean, do you say Steve Sarkisian? I know it's his first year, but I mean, look, y'all went 5-7? Y'all lost to Kansas.
At home.
At home. Mm. You got to say Sark.
Yeah.
You got to say Sark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, maybe Drinkwitz, but they were so bad. I mean, you know, because people had Missouri doing some stuff early.
I
mean,
what
from
about
start
Dan
to
Mullen?
Finish, I was going to say,
Mullen?
From start to
Dan
finish,
Mullen.
It have to be Dan Mullen because he went from not even, there's not
and
even a talk about getting
he's
rid of him.
He's been there and they've won there.
And
Dan
just
Mullen
won the
wins.
SEC, you know.
Dan, as a head coach, so I'm telling you, as an OC though, Dan Mullen, he's got the juice.
What if
he
gets paired up as an OC with Muschamp somewhere as the DC, the two Florida head coach.
It would create a warp hole in time.
They'd be good.
Yeah, they'd create a warp hole in time. All right, let's get to bets. Like I told you guys, I felt great about a lot of things. The sun coming up this morning, there being oxygen in the air, Blaine annoying me at some point today, but I've never felt better than the two picks I have today. Guys, we're here at the end of the year, 63% against the spread.
63%?
Against the spread. We're not playing any, Georgia's going to beat, College of Charleston or Charleston Southern, money line. Here's what I got. UTSA, Western Kentucky, first half under 37.5. Everybody expects a track meet, and they will score points. But early they're going to be filling each other out. UTSA coming off their first loss of the year. I think it's a little bit defensive early. 5 touchdowns get you to 35. That's a lot of touchdowns. Don't need anything crazy on special teams. Don't need people going for 2 all the time. Under 37.5 first half. Then Oregon, Utah. You know what? Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice, it'll never happen. Oregon, Utah, first half under 29.5.
Under, okay.
I'm going under 29.5. This is the second time they've played. Oregon's going to be 13 flavors of pissed off. Utah's kind of shown what we know who Utah is. Utah's not going to show up and surprise us with who they are. That's not who Kyle Whittingham is. I think this game is a lot closer, obviously, than the blowout we had earlier, but I like both of the first half unders. 37.5 UTSA versus Western Kentucky, and under first half Oregon, Utah 29.5. I'm in love with the money.
Okay. I love those. All right, I do have a sharp out today. One of my sharps was Utah -2.5. So I will have that out.
So you're
out
going
today.
Utah -2.5?
That was one of my sharps.
That was your sharps.
Yes.
It's at 3 now?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And this is what else I'm taking. I understand that you got blown out 38-7. Where was that game at? That game was at Utah. Usually you give the home team a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? What did Utah do in that game? They said hike. Turned around and gave it to the running back. And so, unless Oregon somehow just mysteriously found a better front seven.
And now Mario may be leaving, going to Miami. I don't know.
The pendulum swinging back and forth.
We found out
right
who
here.
The side chick was.
And you know what's changed with Utah? You know what's changed? Absolutely nothing. Nothing has changed with Utah. They know who they are. One, Oregon really can't throw the ball like they want to. And Utah's just
ever since Verdell
went out,
that was their
Utah's
witch.
Just going to turn around and hand the ball off. That's the easiest thing to do in football. So I'm taking Oregon TTP under 27.5. You scored 7 points, and you're lucky. You're lucky you scored 7 against them.
I don't think you're crazy there.
I don't think I'm crazy either.
Under season.
I'm
what's
going
your
a different
pick?
Direction. You have another one?
Do you have another pick, or is that it? You got the sharp plus
today,
Oregon.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going a different direction.
Wow.
Good
one direction?
You. Good for you.
You're going one direction?
No, the standard.
Over. I want Oregon, Utah over. Like you said, I don't see much changing with Utah. Mm. They're going to put up points. I do see something changing. Regardless if Cristobal is in Miami on Sunday, on Saturday, he needs to be putting up some points. I think he will. They're going to be playing indoors in Vegas. Vegas loves a show, boys. Give me the over, 57.5, Oregon and Utah. Okay, so maybe we pull for the under in the first half.
We've threaded the needle before. Plenty of times.
It can be done.
All right, is Baby Cone going to drop a pick tonight? Are you going to talk to him, even though he can't form words right now? But you guys are like on a telepathic thing, right?
I say, hey, I think he likes Utah.
I think
tonight.
He likes Utah
money
first
line?
Half.
He
I
likes
think
Utah
he likes
first half?
Utah.
Is it 1.5?
What
is it?
First
look
half?
It up. Look it up. We'll give Baby Cone that. We'll drop that out.
Let's do that. First
Baby
half.
Baby Cone's what, like 9-4?
I think he is, yep.
Wow.
9-4, yep.
Great start. And he got to see Michigan win. Man.
And the Braves, I mean, let's don't even.
What's up, Blaine?
So it's 1.5.
Wow, so he's going Utah.
Lock it in,
first
Utes.
Half, lock it up, Baby Cone. -1.5, I'm dropping it down right here. So Utah, -1.5 first half. We'll see how it goes. Blaine, give me one more question from the Booster Club, and don't blow it.
Ooh, okay. I think you'll like this one. J-Chain.
I hate it.
J-Chain won. All right, hashtag AskJBoy. He says, can you please do a Christopher Walken with a country accent speaking to LSU fans?
Christopher Walken with a country accent?
Is that even possible?
Yeah, I mean, hey. He's like, one time I was walking down the street and I saw Brian Kelly. He looked at me and said, it's wild. These po' boy sandwiches. They're crazy. I don't know how to do this in a southern
that's
accent.
That's a spot on Christopher Walken impression.
I don't teach Guaylo. I never teach Guaylo. But no, that's all I got. I can't do it in a Southern
accent. Well done.
You know, give me one more. Let's go one more.
You want another one?
It's Friday.
All right, let's switch it up a little bit. Cal Kenny, hashtag ask Cone.
Wow. All
right. Can you give some insight from a player's perspective about being on a team, going through coaching changes? Do first impressions of new coaches stick?
Tell them your story. You went
You want it again?
Yeah, no, I got it. I mean, look, I went through one in high school and in college. I mean, the one in college was specifically tough to deal with because it ran a completely different system. Yeah. So I was put in a position where it's either, okay, transfer or, you know, from my perspective, Michigan quarterbacks were able to make it to the NFL, the next level, if they were good enough, without having started. Mm-hmm. Matt Gutierrez had just done it. So from my perspective, after having put in 2 years of equity, it was like, hey, go ahead and get the Michigan degree. If you're good enough to play in the National Football League, they'll find you regardless.
Yeah.
But it is tough for these guys, and I'm thinking specifically with this question, I'm thinking of a kid like Bo Nix, right?
Yep.
Not only the head coaching changes, but this kid may play for four different OCs in four seasons. My heart goes out to him. Okay, just think about the verbiage you have to learn. You know, even if they come in and try and keep it the same form, you know, you're not just calling smash, just smash. Just the verbiage alone, not only, you know, the strategy. I feel for him.
Yeah, well, you know, there's one silver lining in this I've always thought. There are the guys that had to go through like three or four offensive coordinators. You're going to be a really good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like you, because you have to know it. Like,
or
this
back up in the league.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, you have to know it to run the offense.
Yeah.
So you've learned not only multiple ways of thinking if you go through different styles, but multiple ways to call things, multiple ways to look at defenses. Every coach, while you may say, oh, they're running cover two, or they're running a split coverage, or we're getting two man and this, that, and the other, there's different ways that they look and help you identify things. That's where I think it helps. Silver lining, yes. Would you much rather have one guy or two guys at most that you go through? Yes, but there's always a silver lining in anything.
I'll say one more to answer his question fully. Now things are a little bit different with the transfer rule being how it is.
True.
You know, I was having to work against having to sit out a season
True.
Or two if you go in conference. That's changed a little bit more. Some ways that treats college football a little bit more like free agency, which maybe we don't like as much, but it also creates a little bit more of a democratic situation for the players. If a coach can jump from a team, which we've seen all week, this 1 week, right, then players should be able to as well, especially when you have a coach coming in, head coach or coordinator or position coach, who runs a completely different system than what you got brought in
for. No, that's a good point. That's a great point.
We did miss one, guys. The Salty Dog said Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds was terrible. His accent. God,
that character's so good, though. But see, you know, like with those Tarantino movies, I think he likes it like that.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I don't know, it's kind of rough and rough around the edges. Y'all want one more cool Saving Private Ryan thing? I just watched like 50 facts about Saving Private Ryan. So Steven Spielberg, they wouldn't show the movie in India because it was too graphic. So the president or whoever, prime minister of India, watched it on his own and thought it was so good, he told India, you got to play it. The ruler of India. That's when you know
it's crazy.
Good.
Wow.
We got one for, I'm going to get this out. Grant Brown, and I can answer this question for you. He says, J-Boy at DB, Blaine at wide receiver. Is Blaine getting jammed or mossing? I am mossing all over
I'm
him.
I'm going to let you talk first.
It's not even a question. Like, why is it, like, you didn't even play DB.
It don't matter.
It's not. It won't be close.
It wouldn't be close?
It wouldn't be close.
Yeah, well, like Blaine's chances of catching a pass in one-on-one, gone.
I'm pulling it down and running anyway, so he's not going to
get it. David Cohn, Associate Producer, Blaine Crane, Audio Engineer, Faison Sharif, Executive Producers, Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn, VoiceOver Announcer, Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.